Kunal, why should people support us on Patreon? This has been keeping me up till 3 in the morning.
This is a good conundrum.
See, people can listen to this free also.
I mean, if you support us, then other people also get to listen to this craziness.
Yeah. And the thing is, you see, like sometimes in life, you look at a thing and this is like, you say, this is so bad. My God, this is so bad.
And how can I spread this? It's almost like a disease. And when you pay, the bottom line is that you don't suffer alone.
No. No.
You suffer with other listeners.
You motivate demotivators.
Yeah.
So you encourage us.
To demotivate.
To demotivate you. And who else is doing that in life?
And why wouldn't you pay for such a service?
Enough people are paying, you pay to give you love, to give you things. How many people are paying to tell you that it's all shit?
Hmm. And just that, and that sense for the shitter things in life.
The truly shitter things.
Yeah. So we need your help and we need your support.
Yeah.
So please go to patreon.com/ourlastweek and...
party!
Yeah.
patreon.com/ourlastweek.
That's the one.
Hey, this is a podcast. No, wait. It's a comedy podcast. Well, we tried to make it a comedy podcast. And it's not meant to offend anyone. So don't get offended, okay? And wait, there's something else. Oh, yeah, yeah. Listener discretion is advised.
Audiomatic presents Our Last Week.
Hi, Kunal.
Hi, Paul.
So, Kunal, I have a question for you.
Yes.
It's related to doctors.
Okay.
So, my father was a bit unwell last couple of days. And a doctor came over, critical care doctor.
Hmm.
And immediately my mother was like, what's wrong with him? What's wrong with him?
Hmm.
And the doctor had a diagnosis without seeing any of the reports.
Hmm.
He immediately started speaking. You know, he's like, oh, breathlessness. I think he has this, that, and the other. And immediately I got a little suspicious because I was like, how is he so ready with answers?
Hmm.
And then I realized that Indian doctors are so harassed by families.
Hmm.
And Indian families don't accept if that doctor says, no, let's wait for the reports before I say anything. Indian families, I think, can't tolerate that. They need the doctor immediately to say something.
Hmm.
Comforting, anything. Like they need the doctor to say things.
Yeah.
And this doctor said things. You know, he immediately said things. He's like, you know, from my analysis, I can... What analysis? He just walked into the room.
Yeah.
He hasn't even properly seen the patient. And he says, from my analysis.
Hmm.
And I wanted your view on why it is that as Indian families, we can't wait for the truth, which is the doctor saying, look, I don't know what's going on. I'm in the same boat as you are. From initial diagnosis, I can't say anything. Let's wait for the report. Why is it that empirical science bothered us so much? But what we really need is a comforting monologue, which could be baseless, not based on anything. But the doctors who've been in this profession for a long time have that monologue ready.
You know, yeah, it's definitely a couple of things. One is that you definitely want your doctor to say things, you know. Like you get very perturbed by a doctor who's very quiet.
Yeah.
Who's just like, And you start... But on the other hand, if the doctor hears you out, and generally you as in you're not the patient, you're the person with the patient, right? You're a talker, and you of course have figured out in your head that these are the things, these are the symptoms, this is how this patient feels, you know? You've got your whole thing. See, in the evening, he was feeling like this. But then in the morning at 5:30, this is, you know, then it changed, doctor. So I think it has to do with the artery. It has to do with the artery. And as long as the doctor is hearing out what your diagnosis is, you know, see, doctor, we've tried that. We've tried all of that. In fact, that other doctor said, so then you get into your 10-minute monologue. What you want for the first thing for you want from a doctor is to hear you and your opinions, you know,
yeah.
that what is my opinion, either of the patient I'm with or of yourself, you know, because you feel like I've kind of sorted this out. I just need you to confirm this. Just confirm for me that this is what he's feeling now. This is what he's feeling now. But I'm giving you a lot of information. Now you have to absorb it and give me the diagnosis that I have already come up with. You know, that's a lot of people have that. Sort of thing. The other is that you want the doctor to you want the doctor to then start saying things immediately. If the doctor says, see, let's wait it out. I know this is the way you're feeling right now, but we are going to have to wait for the reports. Exactly what you're saying, you know, let's see the reports, let the reports come. Then I'll be able to put a proper diagnosis and a course of. But if he says that, now then you've lost faith. He's like, no, yeah, maza nahi aaya. You know, you want a guy who is now going to base this on exactly what you've told him right now. I want it. You know, now give. I've given you all the information. Arey, what tests? I've given you the tests, na. I've told you everything. Now you tell me. Now you speak. But the doctor doesn't have anything to say at that point. He has to see the test. He has to wait for some form of some little bit of science to come his way. You know, he can't only be based on opinion and emotion and all of that. But that's the way it falls now. What are you going to do?
There are some very famous Indian doctors who on their face, you can see the torment of having to speak to Indian families and all. My kidney stone doctor, Dr. Sunawala, he has a system where you get in touch with him. You say, I'm an old patient of Dr. Sunawala's. This is my thing. And there's a lady called Beryl.
Right.
And Beryl will... So you write to Sunawala. Beryl will immediately WhatsApp you saying, to start the conversation, please GPay 1200 rupees.
Right.
Sunawala won't start speaking only.
Right.
Till you send him to because maybe he suffered, you know, like
Yeah.
if you exactly what you're saying, if you want me to agree with you, there's a price.
There's a fee. See, I'm not forget the diagnosis. Just for a person to hear you out. And I think there should be, because you're going to take at least 20 minutes to give your story. Before I give you any medicine, see your reports, you're going to take 20 minutes of my time to say, see doctor, before we come to you, I just want to say, you know, that my husband, you know, he's been suffering from 25 years ago. I told him, let's go to Dr. Sula. So all this talk, you know, if I have to listen to it, there should be a fee. In fact, I'm thinking of charging it for every profession. You know, and we've discussed this before, that there should be, like, to engage with this person, you know, insert coins here, you know.
When you do get through to Sunawala, and this was, the last time I spoke to him was during the pandemic, he's got that air of a world-weary man, you know.
How many stories he must have heard, no?
So, I also started, after paying 1200, I'm also as guilty, because... He said, so what is the symptoms? What are you feeling, Anubhav? And I said, Dr. Sunawala, do you remember we had actually met in 2015? You had come to see my play, something, etc. And he paused. He's like, what are the symptoms, Anubhav? What are the symptoms? He suffered so much of digressions.
Digressions.
People trying to get favors by saying that they know him better than other people. Number of people that must call and tell him that I know you little better than somebody else, so treat me little better. Like,
and most Indians, importantly, bring your rate down a little bit.
Little rate, lower rate, and personal connect. So when you get into my kidney, you know who I am. You know, like we're always doing. You know who I am. And I think his 1200 is for that. You know who I am. Speech.
Yeah. And just to be able to disregard it. Yeah.
And even within that, he's kind of looking for that, like, just sifting through all the bullshit for the diagnosis.
And
that honestly upsets the patient.
Yeah. And the thing is that many times I've heard, you know, he was such a good doctor. He heard me out. He just heard me out for 15 minutes and he gave us his time. Huh? He gave us his time. It was not like he was in a hurry. He gave us a good 25 minutes, full 25 minutes. He heard us out. Then he spoke for 2-3 minutes, but he heard out the whole thing. So I think a lot of people just want to be heard, you know, because they've suffered with this disease, this ailment, and then they have all these opinions and feelings about it. They just want the doctor to hear their opinions, you know, and take a little heed of what I have to say also, because I have also been through this, na. Like, doctor, you know, you have your reports and all that stuff, but I have suffered with this, you know, for so long. Just hear me out, doctor. Hear me out. And then you just say, he's a very good doctor, huh? He gave us his time. He just heard us out. What did he say? No, he said he's waiting for the reports, but he heard us out. I love short-term intelligence. You know, short-term intelligence is the one where just before the appointment, you have studied, you know, what does this mean exactly? You know, the one where you've Googled it and you've understood just before, okay, what does this level mean? Okay, what is this full form of this? Oh, I've watched a video. So that short-term intelligence of coming into the doctor's office with that quick, I know, doctor. I know what you're saying. No, but isn't that related to the, can't it lead to this? So I'm saying that then you come in, but by the end of the appointment, like say the next day you were to ask that person, they wouldn't know jack shit about that. But that short-term intelligence is a wonderful sort of thing, and the doctors have to put up with this also all the time.
And post Google, you know, it's usually the most belligerent kind of patient is the son or daughter, right? I'd say that because they think, you know, it's my parent, you know, so I obviously know best. And one higher level of belligerence is the son or daughter who lives abroad.
Oh, they know much better.
Correct. So, in their heads, what is this medical system? And they've taken their parents to their family doctor, right? Who they've had for years. And as kids, they're like, we got to take them out of the system. We got to take them out of the system. Yeah.
Yeah. What do they? It's a village doctor. They're village doctors in their
head. So even if you're going to Leelavati or Reliance, one of the top hospitals, these are maybe leading surgeons in Bombay. You know, correct. Very competitive people.
Who've dealt with 35,000 times more patients than doctors abroad. Just because of volume. They have to deal with patients every 12 minutes.
And some guy comes. He works in New Jersey. He's come for 2 weeks to take his dad to the doctor. He treats this guy like a dog. You know, like you're nothing. You're a dog. You know, like that's the attitude that they sort of... And the poor doctor, even the patient is apologizing. You know, I'm sorry my son has come. And obviously, to take all this, you have to charge a fee. Like, just to take this.
Oh, your son is coming. Okay, let me then see, huh? He's going to talk to me. He's going to talk to me, your son. I think the charge will be a little higher.
3,000. Just send us 3,000. You know how like streaming has changed entertainment, right? So, entertainers are now as far as possible away from an audience.
Yeah.
The streamer is the only via media. Like you may ever get to see a viewer of your film, you may not. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
We are very far away. Right? But it's the media. Now, I think, do you think in medicine, right? Like it's almost better that the, you know how like there's that masked singer where you're singing, but just from the voice you have to pick. I think it's a show called The Voice only. Like you just pick and you're like, this is the voice I've chosen.
That's the one I want,
So, should medicine be like that? Like, don't have to listen, just send the report and he'll say he won't even know who the other person is. Do you think it's healthier that way? Because then the doctor's sanity will be maintained.
But the British health system is a little bit like that, right? You never know who the doctor is, who the doctor doesn't know who the patient. I mean, it's just like, I need to see a person to see my eye or, you know, my ear or... my back is paining, and you don't know who the doctor is going to be. You're called in. They'll do a test, and then the doctor will give you a sort of prescription or whatever it is, or some diagnosis. So, I guess it is that sort of, you know, this is a building where doctors reside, and now somebody is going to treat you here. There's no personal relationship. There's no, you know, like Arey, I knew him since he was five. He's my personal doctor. Then he's going to recommend me another doctor who's going to be my personal person. I'm going to have his number. I'm going to call his wife. We're going to have Diwali gifts exchanged. You know, there's none of that. It's not like, oh, then we'll have him over for dinner. Then we, you know, call him for you. So it's not, there's that connect is not there. So what you're saying is that this blind medical thing where, you know, it should be more like, I just need medical help, and the institution of medicine, institution of medicine is going to help me. Not this person who is, he is a deity in my life. You know, he's like sort of an all powerful person in my life who's going to guide me through this. But the institution of science. I think that in India, we like the personalization of it. You know, we like making a person a hero in our lives or a villain in our lives, or and it makes it because when you disconnect it from the personality, okay, and you just make it about a cold medical thing, we're not as enamored by it. We don't feel as confident about it. You know, we need a person to be able to call, and we need
and
a
no
number
matter
to
how
be able to...
good the diagnosis is. Like my parents' doctor, he comes with obviously medical treatment, but also stories of other friends in common who died, someone lost their house, someone's wife ran away, you know, so then
stories are important.
And then I realized that his main job, because his job is not even GP, even though he says GP, all he does is tell my parents, I'm concerned about your swelling, etc. Refer to this doctor, give them my name. So his job is only to come over, have some samosas, and do referrals of doctors.
He's a matchmaker. He's basically a matchmaker. It's like I'm going to find you the right match kind of doctor. So I'm thinking that earlier it was like, I'm going to find someone for your daughter. This is, I'm going to find someone for your ulcer.
He's the Seema Taparia of doctor. You know, he's been our family doctor for 30 years.
Yeah.
And I'm now beginning to think, I don't know if he has a medical degree.
He's just a person who knows other doctors, I think.
He's not prescribed anything.
Let me go through my book. I'll find you the best person for that swelling. The best person. And then he'll go through his little book.
Yeah.
This is it.
Yeah.
Agarwal. Dr. Agarwal.
Go to Dr. Agarwal.
Yeah.
We're switching topics. We want to spend a little time talking about embassies.
Yes.
Do you think consulates, depending on the size and power of the country, need to be imposing? Like the American consulate is quite a imposing place. You know, it's quite grand and you go through many layers. But you recently went to an embassy that was the opposite of that.
I went yesterday to the Russian visa center or visa collection center, I'd say. I don't think it's their embassy or their consulate, but it's a place where you merely submit your documents. And luckily enough for me, I needed very few documents. I've been invited for a film festival, so I think I just needed two sheets of paper and my passport. And I felt like it wasn't like, you know, 6 months bank statements, you know, what did you eat in the last 12 days? None of that information. Xerox is off. Like, you know, generally you go in with a stack of papers for the visa thing. But this was two sheets of paper and my passport in an industrial estate on the first floor, down these long corridor of many little offices. And at the end, there was this small little door which had a paper printout which just said Russia Visa Collection Center or whatever, and it's just like a little printout and a small room with one very sad looking desk and another sort of thing, a glass window which also was very temporary looking, and maybe one other person's waiting for a visa in chappals, you know, so he wasn't even giving it the formality or anything. I said, you know, I maybe I'll wear shoes for this. I wore shoes, which is a big deal, you know, so I put on shoes, pants. I wore full-length pants. But this guy was just in like slacks and chappals, and he was also waiting for some sort of visa. And there was no line. I don't think anyone was interested in going to Russia at this time. So I don't know whether it's representative of a country or its position or relationship with another country As to what kind of consulate they have. But the one I went to yesterday was pretty sad looking, yeah.
My question for you is, do you think if you're going into a country's consulate, there should be some touches of that country?
Like a sickle and an axe, like that kind of thing. Like, should there be motifs?
A photograph of Yuri Gagarin, anything, you know. Like, for example, I think US Embassy waiting area has a Statue of Liberty, a photo of a bunch of people who look like multicultural Americans enjoying themselves. There's always a photo of the Golden Gate Bridge. You know, like, that's why I wanted to know whether your Russian thing had anything Russian in it.
It had absolutely nothing. It was so nondescript, that place. You know, it had a peon at the thing which was inside. He didn't even have his own cubicle. He was just a guy with a register. And then it just had a few plastic chairs and it had this one glass window. And it could have been anything. It could have been any office. It had no Russian elements. Like, there was not even, you know, there was nothing of Lenin, of Stalin. There was no, you know, there was not even like a poster of Karl Marx or something. Like, there was nothing.
Okay, the VFS has changed everything because VFS has made everything about just document collection.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
I feel like, you know, for it to be, I understand they want it to be sterile and clinical because they don't want you to get the joy of that country. Till you
have achieved it.
Hurdle. Yeah.
Till you overcome the hurdle of documentation.
But I feel like there should be a room that gives you a hint of that country. You know, like, we've accepted your documents, but now where are you going? Oh, I'm going to Greece. Just go into this room, and there's like some AV thing going on of Greece, or someone will give you a little bit of hummus and pita, whatever, tharma salata, whatever. Like a little touch of Greece, and then you fuck off with your little token number.
I'm saying even if behind them, you know, there's a door.
Yeah.
And in that other room, you can see someone is eating like souvlaki or whatever it is. You know, the door just opens up a little bit and someone's, you know, and you just see a little glimpse. Even if you see that little glimpse that, oh shit, that behind this door, it looks a little bit like there's a Greco-Roman statue over there. You know, something over there in the back. There's like some, there are pillars over there. I can see those green, something, you know, the door opens a little bit and you see it. Even if it's beyond, that's also hope, you know, like, okay. Because right now when the door opens, you just see like, you know, someone's eating a dosa and it's like, you know, like normal. There's just like files and this, that. There's nothing. It looks like the rest of the office. But when you, even if you give me that little peek into another world or another country, you know, that's all you want. That when you go to that thing, oh, this is their territory, you know, because that's what they say, right? Like, where the council is, that is the property of that country, you know. So now if it is, then at least make it look a little bit like that. No, but I think that they've stopped allowing Indians into those places only.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So even though they might have it. Yeah.
Earlier, you could go to a building that was the consulate, you know. So.
Correct, correct.
For example, I've often wondered if you went into the Saudi Arabian High Commission, okay.
Yeah.
And you stole a wallet. Right?
Yeah.
Would their laws apply? So would they chop your hands off? You know, like.
Because now it's on their territory. Yeah,
and say the punishment for theft is different from Indian law.
Right, yeah. Hand, yeah.
Indian law is like maybe 3-4 years, but there it's like cut off his left hand, you know, like.
But you know what's amazing is that Indians have managed to do this in their homes abroad. Because that automatically becomes Indian territory. Even though they are citizens of that country, their staff and all firstly work on Indian salaries. Yeah. And they're treated like they would be treated in India. So the laws of India, not only legal laws, but cultural laws also apply on their territories abroad. Oh. So what's amazing is that they have managed to achieve that without having any counselor support.
Yeah, they just, exactly, they don't open their door. Like, do you remember there was an Indian diplomat who was arrested for mistreating her maids or something? Remember?
But he says this is how it happens in India. This is Indian territory.
I'm following Indian laws.
And many Indians achieve that in their own homes abroad. That's the lovely thing.
This has been Our Last Week, Kunal.
It has.
And
Thank you, listeners. As always, we're at patreon.com/ourlastweek.
Yeah. See ya.
Bye.
You were listening to Our Last Week, produced by Akanksha Kadam and Avdhoot Khanolkar, hosted by Anubhav Pal and Kunal Roy Kapoor.